Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 16. Text verse is verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Like the Spartans, if you've never looked into who they were, the Greek culture, I know they didn't last very long, but like a Spartan, they were born into a warfare society. I know it was cultic, but the warfare similarity is every Christian is born again to be a warrior. You see, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you entered a battle and you gained an enemy that's trying to destroy you. Now, he's not more powerful than God, praise the Lord, but you did gain an enemy. And it's your duty. You see, as a child of God, it's your destiny to be assaulted. I don't know if you realize that or not. Somebody said, I don't like looking at that aspect of Christianity. I want the love and the fluff and the, okay, there's the love, but there's also, you're in a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. That's why we sang the song this morning. You are in a fight, whether you realize it or not. And the Christian that doesn't realize it gets sucker punched. They forget there's a devil. They forget someone's trying to knock them out of the race. So they come to church. Oh, this is wonderful. I love the church and the singing. And they get blasted. They totally forget. You see, part of your life will be occupied with defensive warfare. Let me just read you a couple verses. Listen to this. God says in 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Jude verse 3, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend or fight or battle for the faith. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. How do you fight him? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Part of your life as a Christian is going to be defensively. But you can't be a good soldier if you're always on the defensive. There's going to have to be times where you attack the enemy and you say with David in 1 Samuel 17, I come to thee, like remember with David and Goliath, I come to thee in the name of the Lord. It says, Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. There's going to be times when you're going to have to take a stand and you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to face the giant. And you face him in faith. You see, the Lord tells us why we're to put on the whole armor of God. Do you see verse 12? Watch this. I know we read it, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's demons. Against powers. That's governmental authorities. Not all governmental authorities, but I think with this presidency, we have definitely seen spiritual wickedness in high places. There are some wicked people in our government. All of them aren't, praise God. I'm glad he's draining the swamp. Amen?
Amen?
But there's some wicked people in Washington. I love that old statement. All the oil's in Texas and the dipsticks are in Washington. Okay. All right. Let's go back to our text here. Ready? That was a joke. Okay. Just to help you breathe. All right. God says here, our battle is not against flesh and blood. And here's where a Christian makes a mistake. There's nobody with flesh and bones on them that is your enemy. You say, well, you don't know what so-and-so did to me. And that's where you made the mistake. Just like God uses people in your life to be a blessing, Satan uses people in your life to try to discourage you and frustrate you. And you got your eyes off of the real enemy, and you started focusing on people. Well, no, I don't like them. And I don't like... But now them I like. Now they're nice. But those are... God says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And anytime you start looking at another person and you start going, they are my, there's nobody that is your enemy. You have one enemy. You have one person who's trying to destroy you. His name is Satan. And when you quit focusing on the spiritual battle, then guess what you start doing? You start bickering. You lost focus. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You see, just as the war at Calvary was an invisible war, the war of the Christian is invisible. As unclean spirits manipulated men to crucify our Savior, so every believer wrestles with unclean spirits while they try to serve other people. Just like it's similar. You see, as a Christian, God tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I love this statement. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I like training. I enjoy physical exercise. I enjoy that. But you can't punch the devil in the nose. It doesn't work. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I don't care how big of a gun you got. I don't care what size your knife is. You can't fight the battle with physical weapons. It takes the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. The way you hit Satan is you fight. Satan hates to see a Christian pray. Satan hates to see a Christian out soul winning, robbing people from hell, telling people how to get saved. We fight the devil in a different way. In a different way. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. As God's child, you are safe in the hand of God. But there are times when you must attack the strongholds of the enemy. There are times when you must drive out the Canaanites out of the land. Very few Christians know anything about the daily warfare we have been called to by the captain of our salvation. Men who hazard their lives to follow Christ in the midst of an ungodly and perverse generation. Let me use an example. Jonathan and David's relationship. King David, before he was king, Saul's son, Jonathan. They had a beautiful picture of friendship in the Bible. Jonathan is one of the sweetest characters in the Bible. But he could give his bow to David, but he couldn't draw his bow for David. He could give David his garments and his armor, but he couldn't put on the armor for David. He stayed in his father's, Saul, royal court because the attraction was too much for him. He couldn't leave it. His life was inglorious from the very time he forsook David, and his death at Mount Gilboa was among the slain of the Philistines. When the Holy Ghost recorded the names of the mighty men that were with David in Adullam, Jonathan's name wasn't mentioned. Although Jonathan is, I think, a picture of friendship and affection, but he's not a picture of a warrior. There are soft Christians like Jonathan. They have a soft religion that's always positive and it avoids opposition. And the moment they get in opposition, they go, "Oh, if it was God's will, it'd be easy, so I'm going to quit. Oh, well, if it was God's will, then I wouldn't have to deal with any..." Wait a second. If it's God's will, you might have a fight on your hands. Maybe God wants you in that battle. You don't quit because you're in a fight. But I watch a lot of Christians. They're like, "I want something that's positive and that has no opposition." There are some Christians, their Christianity doesn't cost them a whole lot. It's just reasonable. They're saved and their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but their names won't be written among the mighty men of God who are willing to suffer the loss of all things and were willing to go outside the camp bearing His reproach. There are also Christians that are so fearful and weak that they have just enough faith to deal with their frailties and their failures, and then there's nothing left. And I realize that. And I hope our church is always a place where the weak and the fearful can come, because they're welcome. But they're so scared, and they have so little faith in the Word of God, they can't do anything else except deal with their own failures. And so they come to church, and glory to God, they hear the preaching, but they don't have any faith to go any further because they're so overwhelmed with their own failures. And I hope our church is a place where you can come and you can be encouraged, but I also realize every person is not going to be a warrior. You see, take your Bible and go to Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. It's right before Psalms and Job. Nehemiah chapter 4, I just want you to see this. The way the Jews built the wall in Nehemiah's day is supposed to inspire us all. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And look at verse number 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Skip on down to verse 16, Nehemiah 4:16. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. Nehemiah 4:17. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and those that laded, watch this, every one, with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. That's a lot of the Christian life. Here, one of them has a trowel. I don't know, they're making a wall. I'm assuming it's brick, okay? One has a trowel. They're smoothing it, and one of them puts a thing, and in the other hand, they got a sword. And while they're building, they're ready to fight. They're expecting opposition. They know there's an enemy that's trying to destroy them. So, I'm building, but if I have to, In one hand, they built, and in one hand, they held a sword. In one hand, they held a sword. I am working for my Lord, but I know that that attracts the attention of the devil. I'm prepared to fight if I have to. No one that is in their right mind wants to make enemies, but if you love the Lord and serve Him, you will have to take a stand and defend your cause. Somebody said, well, how do you stand? I think if you'll just focus on loving the Lord and doing what He wants you to do, you'll make enough people angry just pleasing the Lord. You don't have to worry about who's going to oppose you. You say, why? Well, as God blesses you for loving and serving Him, you'll see Satan's attempt to curse you. The more God smiles on you, the more the devil frowns. That's just natural. Now, we're here in Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. As a child of God, you're in a battle, and you have an enemy that is trying to destroy you. I love the verse John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He first steals your joy as a Christian, but he's still not happy. He's not done with you. He comes to steal, then he tries to kill your service for God. But he's still not done with you. He doesn't quit fiddling with you and tricking you and trying to deceive you until you're destroyed. And there's nothing left. When we were on ship, they had the Gatling gun, I can't remember the name of it, we called them R2-D2s, and it had a radar, and when a missile would come in, that radar kept shooting that, and 2,000 rounds a minute, I don't know, whenever they fired it went, bah! You know, we'd be right underneath, you know, and that Gatling gun fired until the radar didn't pick up anything left over 1 inch square. It just kept firing. Satan is that way. He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to kill your service for God, but he won't quit until you're destroyed. You have someone who's always trying to stop you. Greater is he that is in me, praise God, than he that is in the world. That is why we're told to put on the armor of God that God makes available. And the piece that God puts the most emphasis on, I'm back in Ephesians chapter 6. Can you go there? Ephesians chapter 6. I just love this little phrase here. Watch this. God's going to list the whole armor that every Christian is supposed to wear. Every Christian is supposed to put this armor on. Well, I'm not a pastor. Every child of God is supposed to put on the armor. Because in the end, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. You know what the evil day is? The evil day is when somebody says, I'm going to destroy you. And if that hasn't happened yet as a Christian, none of us know when it's going to happen. But the day's coming. If you serve God and you do what God tells you to do, the day's coming where somebody's going to come to you and they're going to say, I'm going to destroy you. And if you don't have your armor on, you're going to get angry at the person instead of the real enemy. Every one of us has an evil day. Some have a couple of evil days. But you know why you put your armor on? Because you don't know when it's coming. So put it on every morning. When you're tying your shoes, think of preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, if you give me somebody today to lead to Christ, I'm ready to give the gospel. Put on your belt, gird your loins. What's the loins? It's the distance between the hip and the lower rib bone. Gird my loins with truth. This is the most vulnerable part of your body. There's no bones in between the skin and the viscera. Now I'm going to put on my breastplate of righteousness. What's my righteousness? That's my good deeds. That's my habits. That's how I serve God. That's what I do for the Lord. That's my breastplate of righteousness. My helmet of salvation. I knowing that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I've done what Jesus told me to do. I've placed my faith in His shed blood, and I know I have my helmet on, and I know I'm saved. And then God says in verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. So if you can only, and we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God, but I take this as saying if you can only put on one thing, above all, make sure you get the shield of faith. Make sure you get the shield of faith. So above all, the name of the sermon this morning is called the shield of faith. And God says here, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is my trust in the Lord. But wait a second, my faith in the Lord is because of my faith in the Bible. And the more I trust God's Word, that's why I'm learning something as a soul winner. I love to give in the gospel, but you don't get saved until you accept this is the authority. And if it's full of errors and doubt, and you believe the devil's lie and the humanism and what the world says about it, you don't get saved. You get saved when you accept the authority of the Word of God. And when Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, God said it, I did it, and that's how I know I'm saved, because this book is the authority. My faith in the Lord is fed by the faith of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That's why it's important that you read it. That's why it's important. I love the phone apps. You can download a Bible app and hit play, and you can have the Bible playing all day long. Make sure it's King James Bible. But you can have the Bible playing all day long in the background now. I like that. That's using technology for God. What's that do? The more you hear it, the more faith it builds. The more faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God. My shield of faith is my trust in the Lord that comes from my trust in the words of God. You see, first of all, a shield protects you from all angles because it's so large. There were two types of shields. There was the normal battle shield, and then when you see the word buckler in your Bible, it was a small hand-to-hand combat shield. And the normal shield that they would talk about was almost a full body size shield. Because what would the Spartan mothers tell their boys as they went into war? Either bring your shield back or come back on it. The shield was big enough to carry their whole body if they died in battle. So the shield was a normal shield like what we're talking about this morning. That's why when I read Psalm 5:12, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. Listen, with favor thou wilt compass him as with a shield. It's talking about a full body shield. A full body. That's what they used to carry. First of all, faith protects all of you. Faith protects all of you as a shield. God tells us that faith has a quenching power. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Ancient warriors' arrows, they were small, but most of them were dipped in poison. And if that arrow grazed you or went in you, it left a fiery poison that started a burning and an inflammation, obviously, that would start circulating through your blood and start killing you. Those were fiery darts tipped with poison, and sometimes, they normally fired them at building, but sometimes they would actually light the end of it on fire, dip it in tar, and then light it, or a flammable oil, and then they would shoot it at a building or something. Faith sees the temptation, or blasphemy, or the accusation coming, and not only catches it, but it takes away its sting and it quenches the fire. Because we all have things thrown at us from the devil, temptations, blasphemies, accusations. Those are fiery darts of the wicked. Faith protects the head. Satan always goes for the headshot first. If you can take out the head, what's a headshot do? It incapacitates the whole body. So what's the first thing he goes for? In battle, he sends doubts, notions, dangerous heresies, fears. There's some Christians, they're scared, and there's nothing to be scared about. But I'll sit down with you and I'll help you. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But I'm just so scared. What are you scared of? It's going to be okay. But I'm just terrified. How do you quench those fiery darts of doubt and fear with faith? Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God. Unsettledness and fears are because of a weak faith in the Word of God. The Word of God is true. It's alive. There's no mistakes in it if you have a King James Bible. The Word of God is pure. It's eternal. And you need a firm grip on the doctrines of grace. You say, why? Because Satan's first going to shoot at your head. He's going to first shoot, and that's why if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, Satan always comes to you. You ever notice Satan? First words out of Satan's mouth that God records is, yea, hath God said. Satan deals in questions. God deals in statements of truth. That's why when Satan comes to you, are you really saved? That's Satan playing head games. Did you pray the right prayer? Are you sure you have enough faith in Jesus to save you? All of those questions of doubt. How does God deal with you? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you trust Jesus as your Savior? I took Him by faith at His Word. Then God says you're saved. But Satan always does what? He shoots fiery darts. You're not saved. The doubts and the fears, and He deals in questions. We're in a battle. You need to know what you've received. You need to know what you've believed. And you cannot give up the truth of God. That's why the Bible is the basis of our faith, the basis of our shield. This is why church attendance is so important. This is why your time in God's Word every day is so important. Because the basis of the faith, the shield of faith, is the Bible. So I said, first of all, faith protects your head. Faith next protects your heart, your emotions. Faith protects your arm. They can't get the body shot, then what's the next limb that a soldier's going to go for? Well, go for the arm that's what? Wielding the sword. Take away the fight out of them. Wound the arm so that they're not left-handed. If they are, you go for that hand. So the next, they say, go for the arm. Wound them. So what's Satan try to do? He goes for your emotions, your heart. He goes for your arm, your Bible reading, the one that wields your sword. He tries to damage it. Next, what do they shoot for? Faith protects your feet. What's the feet? Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your soul winning. Your soul winning is very important. It's very important. It's a piece of the armor. It helps protect you. Faith also is that whole body shield, protects your knees. I know they had the leggings on that would protect the shins, but what's your knees a picture of? If they could hit you in the knees, that's your prayer. He always battles it. You ever notice when it's time to pray, there's always something else to do? You better determine you're not going to answer the phone during that. I got a text. And if you ever notice, it happens right when it's time to pray. It happens right when it's time to read your Bible. Who cares? You got to determine when it's time to pray and time to read your Bible, nothing is getting in the way. Because you'll always get something then. You'll always get an interference. So I said faith protects the head, it protects the heart, it protects the arm, it protects the feet, it protects your knees. Think about this just for a second. That word there in verse 16, it says, above all. If you think about this, faith protects the rest of the armor. Faith is an armor for your armor. I don't mean to be redundant, but it says above all. So you've got the armor of God on, and then you have this full body shield of faith or your trust in the Word of God. Faith is not just a defense for you, but it's a defense for your defenses. Our loins, I said, are girt about with a girdle of truth. That's our sincerity. You ever hear somebody say, "I got a gut feeling"? What protects your life from being run by emotion? Well, I just felt like I needed to do that. Quit ruling your life by your gut feelings, and let it be ruled by truth. Not, "What'd you do that for?" Well, I just felt like I needed to. Your feelings change from day to day. You have to gird your loins with a belt of truth and quit ruling your life by your feelings. Your feelings, your heart is desperately wicked like mine and will deceive you. Your heart will lie to you. You cannot trust your heart. It'll damage you. Satan tries to cut our sincerity or the faith in truth, and it tries to cut the girdle of truth. Faith enables us to be sincere. My faith in the Word of God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my salvation. Faith in the Word of God. That's my shield. Faith in people is my sincerity. I know some people, they've lost their faith in other people. You can't do that. You cannot look. Every person is not a jerk. Just because you got burned a couple of times. "Well, I just don't trust anybody." Really? You can't live that way. That'll get passed on to your kids. That gets passed on to everybody. "Well, I got burned one time, so I'm not going to trust anybody." If you'll gird your loins with faith in the Word of God and quit running it by your feelings, no, there are good people. And God can show you good people. But don't lose your faith in mankind. Everybody's not a jerk. Everybody's not a Senator Cummings, okay? All right. Where'd that come from? All right, here we go. Satan attacks our breastplate of righteousness. We need to say with Joseph when he was tempted of Potiphar's wife. Remember, he was left in charge of the whole house. Potiphar leaves and his wife comes to him. "Lie with me. My husband isn't here." And what did Joseph say? "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? There's things I will not do. I don't care. God sees what I'm doing. And my breastplate of righteousness, I'm serving the Lord. And I'm not going to allow somebody to shake that." Job said this, listen closely, "As God liveth, who taketh away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul." Listen, "All the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me." He said, there's lines I don't cross. That's the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to live a certain way. I am not going to talk a certain way. There's places I will not go. I'm determined. That's the breastplate of righteousness. That's the breastplate of righteousness. You see, the shield of faith guards the breastplate of righteousness and the girdle of truth. Our faith or trust in God maintains our grace that God gives us. I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We sang it this morning. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." What a beautiful verse. What a beautiful verse. I'd like you to say with King David, 1 Samuel 17, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine also." My God has delivered me thus far, and He'll continue to deliver me. My faith is in the Word of God. You see, we obeyed the words of God by faith. We pray by faith. We go forward by faith. You may have a loving and a gentle spirit, but you better be careful to have your shield of faith, or you can bite someone's head off in anger and bitterness if you aren't careful. Oh, they're always nice. No, they're not. If they aren't careful, they have a fleshly edge too. Be careful. Be careful. Next, faith like a shield. So faith protects you. Faith protects your defenses, your armor. And then faith, your trust in the Word of God, your belief in the Word of God protects you from the blows that are meant for you. The sword or a hammer or an axe, as the shield is used, normally it's always a counter. When the enemy comes in like this, the shield goes up. The moment the hit is deflected, then the strike comes. It's either going to come this way, it's going to come down. But they're used in conjunction with each other. So the shield deflects the blow that was meant for you and takes it off to the side. In other words, some wrongly believe that if you have faith and everything is going to be quiet, peaceful, and calm. Trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior doesn't mean that you'll never have any more struggles or battles. I'll say it again. You were enlisted to fight. As a child of God, you should expect conflict. And I like the song, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" It goes like this. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy Word. That's why we sang this morning. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. A warrior's shield is battle-scarred from the blows that have battered it as it turns death away. Our faith will be cut at, battered, beaten. Your shield of faith quenches fiery darts. But aren't you glad? No spear can pierce it. No hammer can break it. Go forward and fight on for the Lord. Many Christians take the place of cowards as they're ashamed of Christ. They hide. They desert their colors. They conform to the world because they don't want to take a stand. No one ever criticizes them or lies about them. Doesn't this verse ring true? As far as, think about this, Luke 6:26, listen closely. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. You know what the word woe means? It means cursed. You mean your Christianity doesn't upset anybody? I'm not asking you to go to work tomorrow and make enemies. I'm saying, but your stand for the Lord and your love for the Lord doesn't upset anybody? Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. When you have... there's just a danger in a Christianity that tries to make everybody happy. You're not going to make everybody happy. You live for the Lord, you make God happy. Number four this morning. The shield of faith must be handled with skill. I've already lent to that. But Ephesians 6:16 and 17, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I already showed you, when the blow comes, the shield is raised, and then the counter always includes the offense. The Word of God is our sword. Faith is our shield. When the enemy strikes at close range, the sword is used as the blow is deflected. Are you there in Ephesians? Are you there in Ephesians? Do you see verse number 17? It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. One thing you start learning as a Christian is if you're going to use the sword to fight with, if you unsheath the sword and open it up, then you have to specifically use it. Yes, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But when you use the sword of the Spirit in a fight, it's always pinpointed at some target In other words, you're fighting an enemy specifically with a sword. They strike, and then the counter comes, the offensive comes. This way. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Jesus taught us how to fight temptation in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. What did Jesus tell the devil? As it is written. You're hungry, aren't you? Satan tells Jesus. You've been fasting for 40 days. You're the creator. Turn these rocks into bread. You can eat anything you want. As it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. How did Jesus quote? Jesus taught us how to fight temptation. Specifically take the scripture and point it at where you're being tempted at. And stab it with the sword of the Spirit. Specifically use Bible verses. When Satan says you aren't saved, quote to him John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm safe in my Father's hand because I've trusted Christ. I have many verses this morning. Just listen closely. I'm not going to go through all of them. But when Satan tells you you're going to be poor and you're going to starve to death, you could reply and use the sword of the Spirit and stab him back and say Psalm 37:25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. When Satan says you're going to be destroyed and there's so much to fear, you can reply Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. If you have a problem with cussing, you could take the sword of the Spirit and stab that point and use Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. To clean up my mouth, I had to memorize Bible verses on swearing. So memorize a verse. Find out where your weakness is. Memorize a verse and then unsheath the sword, and when the strike comes and the temptation comes, counter with the sword of the Spirit and you stab where you're getting hit at. How about this? When Satan says you're weak, you can reply in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Listen, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. When I rely on the Lord. When I rely on the Lord. When Satan says, you have too much sin in your life, just quit. You can reply Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. I'm not going to quit. My Savior is praying for me right now. I'm not going to quit. And I may have fallen, I may have stumbled, and I disappointed the Lord, but I'm not going to quit. I'm going to get up, confess my sin, and I'm going to keep on going for God. Because the devil wants everybody to quit. He wants everybody to quit. The shield of faith protects you. The shield of faith protects your armor. The shield of faith protects you from blows that were meant for you. The shield of faith is used skillfully with the sword of the Spirit. And faith in God has always made God's people more than conquerors. God's children have been through tragedy after heartbreak and battle after battle, but the Lord has never failed to work all things together for good. Watching those Egyptian Christians being butchered by the Muslims over there in Egypt. They don't show that to you on the media. That school teacher who was just going to school, Christian, shot down, blood everywhere. How does somebody, when somebody says, I'm living right and I'm doing what God wants me to do, and then you have to deal as a family member with that type of a loss, you only make it through that type of pain one way. Faith. Without getting bitter and vile and angry, and I'm sure the emotions are going just like this. People watching tragedy after tragedy. Need the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, if you can't wear anything else, get that shield. Your trust in God and your trust in His Word. Above all. This morning, The name of the sermon is called The Shield of Faith. And it's the one thing that we're supposed to have as a child of God above all. I hope it's an encouragement to you. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. And Lord, when we're tempted to trust other things, you said, above all, make sure that our faith is in you and in your word.